God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being here today. What a beautiful Sunday. Amen. Hey, we have a couple things here. First of all, my name is Eric Dirks, and Justin, come on right on up just right now. They must have gotten a good discussion in that young adult Sunday school class. I'll tell you what, you just never know what's going to happen in there, right, Justin? A couple things that as far as this week, I want you to know, cantata, the Christmas cantata, is a big deal around here. As a matter of fact, last year, those of you who were here, do you remember there were 103 choir members, and we had them from edge to edge here, and they're wanting to beat that number, all right? So anyway, if you're interested in singing for the cantata, it starts to be right here at 6:30 on Wednesday. 6:30 to 7:15 will be cantata rehearsal time every Wednesday night. So make sure you come for that, and it's a lot of fun and everything. If anything, you can just laugh at me. But anyway, all are welcome, and the cantata is the gift of Christmas. Also wanted to let you know, if you haven't heard already, Charlie Howard passed away peacefully Friday morning, and there's not going to be a local service, but he will be interned at National Cemetery in Leavenworth, Kansas, with military ceremony. So make sure, Phyllis, where'd you sit, Phyllis? There you are. Make sure you, that's Charlie is Phyllis's husband, and make sure you talk with her and greet her this morning in that regard. So that has been a hard couple months, hasn't it, Phyllis? Yes. So show her the love of this congregation in that regard. I want to also make sure, open up your bulletin this morning and look at your announcements. A lot of things going on today. This week, I know that there were announcements taking place on the screen earlier, so I'm not going to go through these, but please make sure you look at these if you didn't see those announcements. Make sure you know what's going on in the life of the church. Right after this service, we have Lunch Bunch. And a lot of our men are down there cooking right now and have been cooking since early this morning. I think is it fried chicken? Is that what you said? And what's with fried chicken?
Mashed potatoes, green beans, salad, dinner rolls, and dessert.
Well, I could read it.
Sorry. Why were you asking me then?
You just never know what he's going to say, and I was hoping he would, no, I'm just kidding.
I'd add something to it.
I'm just kidding you. Yes, it's fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, salad, dinner rolls. So, hey, you know what, if that speaks to you, we might just say the blessing right now and go on down. What do you think? So, hey now! So, anyway. Also, we are looking for Christian education director, worship leader, organist, things like that. So if you know of anyone who is interested in any of those things, make sure that, or might be interested in any of those things, make sure you let us know so that we can continue with interviews and such in that regard. Tonight is All Church Conference. This is a yearly meeting with the district superintendent, and we have a great report this year, and Sarah just does an amazing job along with our team leaders getting reports to her, and you would just be amazed at the report of this church in the last year and all the things that have taken place. And so, but you are more than welcome. The youth are going to feed us with some soup and such, along with the fellowship team at 5 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock is when the All Church Conference starts. You're more than welcome to be a part of that if you would like to come to that. So on the back of your bulletin, I call it the back, it's like the third page. That's the connection card. I invite you to fill that out. It does tear out, all right? You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times. Make sure you put your name, address, telephone number on there, and turn that in during the offering time. If you're visiting with us today, we especially invite you to fill this out so we can greet you properly. Say thank you so much for worshiping with us. And this can be your offering to us today, to turn that in the offering basket later on in the service and we will greet you in that manner. On the back of that is a way you can get involved with the church. So make sure you take a look at that as well, and you can put your prayer concerns on there as well. One thing with this service, the way we're wanting to begin sharing our joys and concerns is through this right here. And you turn that in, and those joys and concerns, you know, depends on how you want them to be handled. They will be in the bulletin the next week. They will be put on prayer warriors, whatever you want them want to happen in that regard. So if you would do that for us, that'll be a new tradition that we're trying to start here in this service. So anyway, are you ready for a wonderful service this morning? Yeah. All right, it is time for our praise time. You ready to sing? If you're able, would you stand with us as we sing together this morning? All right, let's get those hands going.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. His mighty hand and outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that has been reborn. Love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
Forever God is with us, forever.
Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, Lord. It is an honor that we can be here and gather together, Lord, in your name. It is an honor that we can gather here without fear, Lord. We thank you so much for the blessing of all of those who have given their life in a way that we can gather here and worship the way we would like to worship. Worship who, Lord? You, the one that we want to worship. And we have nothing to be afraid of. As we gather together, God, I just ask for your powerful anointing. We know that forever you are faithful, God. You are truly the one. Through all of Scripture, we learn that you are the one who is always faithful. Humanity seems to come and go, Lord, but you are there all the time. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. It is out of that faithfulness that we gather, and we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us, Lord. May you anoint this place in such a way that all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place, so that you may be lifted up, God, in our lives, so that we can truly focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, Lord. Be with us this day. Be with us here in this place. Strengthen and encourage us, God. Make us one with you, one with each other, in Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen.
You that made.
this time, I'd like to go ahead and invite Linda Nelson to come on up. Linda, where are you? There she is. And I also like to invite all of our kids to come on up to the altar. So if you are a child or a child at heart, come on down. Right down here, sir.
Oh, okay.
So.
Sing with me. Here we go.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Everyone today. Isn't it a beautiful morning out there? We've got just a few more coming here. Well, we're so glad that you're worshiping with us today. You know, I have a calendar here. Do you ever look at a calendar? Do you? Well, good. Well, you know, this calendar tells me that last Friday, autumn begins. Did you know that? That autumn began last Friday. Or fall, sometimes, is how we call it. If I didn't have a calendar to tell me that it began, what are some of the things that would clue me in that fall is here? Yes?
Leaves are falling.
Leaves are falling. What's some other things? What can we think of when we think of fall? You know, God created some beautiful things when he created the earth. Is that a sign of fall?
Yep.
What is that? Pumpkin. That's right. Here's the leaves, like you talked about, the different colors that fall down. Sometimes it's like God just took a can of paint and just dabbed the whole forest, isn't it, when you get in some trees that are really beautiful colors. What are some other things that would tell us it was fall? Aren't the nights coming a little quicker than they were this summer? Gets dark a little sooner, doesn't it? Are the mornings a little cooler? Yes. How about, have you seen a lot of butterflies heading to warmer weather? Deer season. I figured that would get mentioned. How about apples? Are we noticing the red apples and the yellow apples that are beginning to ripen? How many of you like cider in the fall? Oh, it tastes great, doesn't it? How about the trees that are making walnuts and acorns? My husband told me that the fawns will lose their spots and they will become a brown color in late fall. Pretty soon, how about those cornfields that were really green this summer and soybeans that were green? They're turning brown now, aren't they? They're getting ready for harvest. You'll be seeing farmers with their machinery in the fields harvesting the corn and the soybeans. You know, the Bible tells us there's a time to sow and a time to reap. And we are now in that time of reaping. That is fall. It's harvest time. And God created the world in such a wonderful way that we have the seasons, and now we're in the fall season. I have a poem for you that was written 160-some years ago by Cecil Francis Alexander, and it has been set to music, and it's in our church hymnal now. And it says, "The creation, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made their glowing colors, he made their tiny wings. The tall trees in the greenwood, the meadows where we play, the rushes by the water we gather every day. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty, who has made all things well. I hope you have a wonderful fall and get to enjoy everything that God has provided in this season. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing on these wonderful children, how precious they are in your sight and ours. Just help us, Lord, that we may direct them to all the wonderful things that you have created for us to enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen.
As the kids collect change for missions, we invite you to sing with us, "I Am a Friend of God." After you hand that change off, make sure you get those hands together this morning, all right?
If you would grab your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 5. We are a friend of God. Sometimes it takes a good friend to tell you what you need to hear and what's best for you, even if you don't know that yourself. Amen. So God is certainly a friend to us in that. Galatians chapter 5 is our text for today.
Is that in the Old Testament there, Jesse?
That is in the New Testament.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Right after Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, I believe Philippians after that. I think there's a song for that. Anybody know that? You don't have to sing it. Don't worry. Once you have Galatians chapter 5, if you would hold your place and please stand with me. Okay, raise your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 13, Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Oh, boy. Sad shape now. How's everybody doing today? Woo, peachy. All right, I'll take it. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago I introduced some bulletin bloopers to you, and I thought I would continue in that tradition today. You know, even if you don't laugh, I'll laugh. I love these things. What can I say? Now, of course, this first one I don't think is very funny, but during the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon. Justin must have preached.
I don't think that's a blooper, Eric.
Oh, that's not a blooper?
That's probably in there correctly.
Yeah, I don't know who J.F. Stubbs is, but they supplied the pulpit. So, the rector will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, "Break Forth into Joy." Yeah, yeah. Let me see. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is Hell?" Come early and listen to our choir practice. Oh, boy. The other day I was reading these in my office and I heard myself laugh and I laughed harder. let me see. Well, maybe that one's the one I should end on. Anyway, potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m., prayer and medication to follow. Oh, here's the last one I wanted to do. Ladies' Bible study will be held Thursday morning at 10. All ladies are invited to lunch in the fellowship hall after the BS is done. That's Bible study, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what they're laughing at.
I don't either.
Makes sense to me.
I am totally innocent, Justin. I don't know where their minds are. But anyway, it does feel good to laugh, doesn't it? Hey, before we get started, don't forget your study guide. Cliff, I like to call him Cliff Notes. He works hard on those, and it's a great devotional, a way to start your day. Pretty quick and simple, but yet it focuses your life in the right direction for that day. We have been talking in this teaching series about the five love languages. And I don't know about you, but it has been a great learning experience for me. Many of you have called, or when you come by, you say how much you've enjoyed the information that has been that Gary Chapman has talked about in his book. I hope that it would be great if all of you purchased the book and have read it, or maybe you've already read it. Did I say you could laugh? I didn't say you could laugh, Paul. That's my son, by the way, if you don't know that. But anyway, If not, I hope you do get the book so that you can go through it with your spouse or friend. Like I said, it is good for your spouse. It is good for parent-child relationships or child-parent relationships, for that matter, depending on the age of that relationship. It's friend-to-friend. Although we have learned to think about this with the regards of, husband and wife, it works very well in many different types of relationships in our life. So I do hope that you were able to take what we focused on the last couple of weeks, which is words of affirmation, quality time, and receiving gifts, and been able to apply that to your life. That's my prayer and hope. But anyway, I don't know if you remember, right? The very first Sunday, we talked about love and how in our language, we use so many different love. Yeah, exactly. We use love in so many different ways, right? I mean, we can say, I love spaghetti and I love my wife, right? I mean, it's the same four letters, but we use them in so many different ways in our everyday life. And so we talked about that and how easy it is to misunderstand whenever we talk about love in that way. We also discussed, like I said, the three of the five love languages Gary Chapman has: words of affirmation, quality time, and receiving gifts. And remember, in quality time, I want to lift this up. We talked about how quality conversation focuses on what we are hearing versus what we are saying. Does that make sense? For instance, an example. Remember, I talked about, I mean, it happens very few times, but, you know, Jamie will come home from school and she will just be passionate about some issue that she had at school, right? Whether it's a frustration or whatever it was. And what did I tell you that I do? I try to what? I try to fix it, right? And as a matter of fact, I'm not sure how they measure this, but this is a measured thing. That we listen, most people listen for about 17 seconds. And then we start trying to figure out ways to fix whatever the person's saying. So after about 20 seconds, we're not even listening to what the person is saying because we're already trying to fix the problem that they're having, right? So, it is the idea of that we need to listen. And we don't really go to school on how to listen, do we? We're taught how to speak. We're taught how to write and how to speak in public many times in classes. If you can remember that far back, you have to do that in college at least. But here are some practical tips. Maintain eye contact. Remember, that way you don't float away in your thoughts. If you maintain eye contact, right, you stay right there with the conversation. The second one, don't listen and do something else at the same time. Who is guilty of that? Yeah. Yeah. They're learning more and more that, you know, trying to do this multitasking thing. Ladies, I know you pride yourself in multitasking, but they have proven that you really don't. You really don't. Nobody does. Nobody can really multitask and do it whatever they're doing well. It's just, you can't do it, whether it's listening, talking, typing, whatever you're doing. It just doesn't work. So don't listen, especially with regards to relationships. Don't listen and do something else at the same time. Three, listen for feelings. Four, observe body language. Five, refuse to interrupt, even if you know how to fix it. Now today we want to move into another important love language, and it's called acts of service. Acts of service. But before we do that, I want us to look at an example once again from Jesus' life, like we have been doing. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. So the New Testament begins with Matthew, and then Mark, Luke, and then the Gospel of John, chapter 13. This will be familiar to many of you. Chapter 13, beginning with verse 3. They're getting ready to celebrate Passover. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. he came to Simon Peter, who was with him, and I beg your pardon. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Now, why would Peter say that to Jesus, his teacher, his Lord, someone who Peter had already proclaimed as the Son of God? Why would he say that to Jesus? Because quite honestly, he should be washing Jesus' feet, right? Yeah, so Peter should be washing Jesus' feet, and yet Jesus, this great teacher, the one that he's, Peter and all the rest of the disciples have seen do great miracles, right, is washing their feet. And so the conversation continues. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Lord and teacher, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." So now, one thing that will make this story a little bit more powerful, in that culture, now this seems probably obvious, but just think about this for a minute. Everybody wore sandals. And they didn't jump in their Ford or Chrysler or their golf cart or their little motorcycle to go to a shop or to the next town, right? They walked everywhere they went. And most of the roads were dirt. So can you imagine, even if you had bathed, can you imagine what your feet looked like by the time you got to the next town, which maybe is 2, 5, 10 miles away or even down the street, right? So they were... their feet were really filthy, and so the cultural thing to do was the servant of the household. The servant of the household would be at the door. So, for instance, if you, in that day and age, if you were to come over to our house, you would walk through the door, and our servant, right, would be there at the door with a basin of water and a towel, and you would take your sandals off, and they would wash your feet, and then you would enter the house. So, you know, this is something that is not even really thought about. They probably were in conversation and they put their foot down and they were still talking. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the things in their culture they just assumed would happen and would be present. So here we are, Jesus, whom they understood to be this great teacher, they didn't quite understand yet who he was really, you know what I mean, until they see him resurrected from the dead. They have a hard time understanding that. But they knew he was a great teacher. He was a miracle worker and a great friend. And so they had seen him do many, many things. And yet here he is putting himself in the place of what? A servant. And Jesus used that as a teaching tool and said, "This is what I ask you to do for one another." So Jesus, who had instructed his disciples to love one another, he gave them an example of how to express their love for one another and to the world. And he wanted his disciples to follow that example. So therefore, anyone who identify themselves with Jesus are to be what? Servants to one another and to the world as well. The Apostle Paul in many, many places talked about this. As a matter of fact, in newcomers class, I go through the one another's of the New Testament, because the Apostle Paul talks over and over again about loving one another, giving each other a holy kiss when you greet one another, all these types of things that the church folk, how they're to treat one another. And if the scripture for today, Galatians 5:13, is just one example. "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves or servants to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. Let's read this together. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So as we move into this next love language called acts of service, one thing that has become more and more amazing to me in my years of ministry with regards to marriage is the fact that two people with two totally different backgrounds, different ways that they were brought up, different traditions, come together and begin to live together in marriage. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, in your marriage, I don't know, Jamie and I had issues with this when we first got married. Because, I mean, she was raised in her own traditions, and I was raised in my traditions, and of course, mine were right. Right? I mean, seriously, don't each of us think that in a small way even. Right? I mean, our family does it right. You know, I mean, one year, all the Dirkses gather for Thanksgiving, and the next year, all the Dirkses gather for Christmas, and that's just the way it should be done, right? But yet, her family had another tradition, right? And it didn't fit with that tradition, so you have to talk about these things. You know, it amazed me. I had no idea. Call me dumb or whatever. I went to college. And, I had a job and college, and so I went to college. I didn't come home. I think it was Thanksgiving. I told the older service Christmas. But anyway, I could not wait to come home for Thanksgiving break my freshman year. I'd never been away from my family. I was just more or less a farm boy, right, raised in a small town. And I just could not wait to get home. And I came to the realization, because I had to leave when you're in the sciences, they don't necessarily care when you think you should go home, and you do things their way, right? And so I had a test later than everybody else, and I realized all these people were still there at school. It never occurred to me that they didn't have a home to go home to, or that the people that were home didn't want them to come home for Christmas and Thanksgiving break. It never even occurred to me that that was the case. All of us, no matter how small or how large, have different traditions in our family. And whenever two people come together to live their lives together, there is a lot of stuff that has to be arranged or rearranged. And one thing that has caused more issues that have made it to my office through the years is household responsibilities. Has anyone here, as a husband or wife, ever talked about or discussed or disagreed with household responsibilities? Man, are you shy this morning, or people, you know, you don't get in trouble, I promise you. All right, thank you. I thought I was all alone there for a minute. So let's say this. I'm just going to set up a scenario. Here's the husband's family. The husband's mom cooked, washed dishes, etc., and the dad maintained vehicles, mowed the lawns, was kind of a handyman type person, all right? Now, he is planning on marrying a woman whose mom worked outside the home. And so her mom and dad had to split the household chores. All right? Do you think there were any issues after they got married? Now, when you think about it, and I'm sure it was very irritating to the woman in the marriage, but when you think about it, what kind of household was the husband raised in? No, a traditional one, right? One where the husband was off at work by 7 o'clock in the morning, came home, and you know, probably meal was at least in process of being fixed, right? And so he worked on stuff outside of that four walls that we call a home, right? So I mean, even though it may have been pampered, right, it's all he knew. But on the other hand, the wife, what did she know? To her, mom and dad, maybe her dad, did laundry and washed the dishes. And that was no big deal to her. That's just the way it was. Don't all dads do that? right? So you understand where I'm going with this. A husband and wife, two different people, two different families, two different traditions, come together and try to live together. And household chores, although it seems like a small little minute detail in a marriage, it becomes a huge deal. And that's what this acts of service is about. Acts of service. So as we are talking through these issues, these communication issues between a husband and a wife, or, you know, I mean, this again, it's not just limited to spouses, right? You'd have to reform them for friends and such, but it still works. We should remember three things about acts of service. First, what we do for each other before marriage is no indication of what we will do after marriage. Can I get an amen on that? Right? I mean, think about it. Before marriage, we're reacting to the force of the in-love obsession, right? Your whole world revolves around that other person, doesn't it? You don't mind doing anything for her or him, and she loves it or he loves it when you do things for them, right? So, yes. So, what we do for each other before marriage is no indication of what we will do after marriage. As a matter of fact, the homes that you were raised in tell you more of what your household will be like after marriage, right? That's why a lot of moms, a lot of people say, you know, if you, the person that you marry, if you like your mom, it's probably going to be a lot like your mom. To guys. And to women, many times women marry a smaller person of their dad, right? A younger version of their dad, many times. And so it's because you're comfortable with that, right? You're comfortable with that. So, second, love is a choice and not to be coerced. Now, that sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? But why don't we live as if it's obvious? Many of us, whether it's a friendship or whether it's our spouse, we, instead of making requests of each other, we demand, don't we? Really? Don't we demand? We don't allow a choice, and it's only when we give people a choice that love comes in. I mean, think about it. God created, and God could have not given us a choice, right? But God allowed us to what? Choose. Yeah, God gave us free will to choose to either love him or not, to return God's love or to not return God's love. That is our choice. If we were these robots, right? There would really be no what real love is all about, because we would just be programmed to give love in return. God wanted us to have a choice, and so much deeper is the love whenever it is a choice. We can make requests of each other, but demands don't allow a choice, and that's where the love comes in. Criticism and demand tends to drive wedges in relationships, doesn't it? The problem is that with enough criticism, you may get acquiescence from your spouse. You can look it up. I used it correctly. But it will not be an expression of love. They'll just kind of cave in to your request rather than wanting to make you happy through their love. Each of us must decide daily to love or to not love our spouses, our friends, our siblings, our parents, our children. A third truth is that people tend to criticize their spouse most loudly in the area where they themselves have the deepest emotional need. Does that make sense to everybody? They criticize their spouse most loudly in the area where they themselves have the deepest emotional need. In other words, they are pleading for love in that area. As I implied in the opening of the message, learning the love language of acts of service will require some of us to re-examine our stereotypes of the roles of husbands and wives. The role model of your mom and dad probably will not be the same as your spouse's household. If your spouse's primary love language is acts of service, you will most likely have to be willing to break from your stereotype, whatever that is. Now, you know, it's amazing, before I say this next sentence, think back in the 50s. What formed our family understanding in the 50s? 40s and 50s. Many of you weren't here in that time. What? I heard somebody say something. Leave It to Beaver. Yeah, I'm actually hunting for before TV. Church, family, the immediate family, right? Formed our understanding of what the family unit is like. Fast forward now to 2011. What has TV done to our families? I mean, define what a family is today. Yes, you still get lost in your own personal thing, but you have this thing called a TV coming into your house. I mean, you can lift it up real easy, can't you? Dancing with the Stars. I bet you there's something going on there this season that many of you have never even thought about. Now you're all curious and you're going to be watching Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. I mean, 30 years ago, we wouldn't be thinking about that. Right? So, I mean, TV has brought other assumptions into our household that we still don't understand, but still are out there with our kids as options. So due to the sociological changes in the past 30 years, there is no longer a common stereotype of male and female. Do you understand what I'm saying? In our society today, there's no longer a stereotype of male and female, and it makes it very tough on relationships, doesn't it? So, folks, if your spouse's or friend's primary love language is acts of service, how can you find what they need? One thing I love about this book is at the end of every chapter is a, you might call it a questionnaire. And if you understand or think that your spouse or friend has a love language of acts of service, he makes suggestions for us. Number one, make a list of all the requests your spouse has made of you over the last few weeks. Select one of these each week and do it as an expression of love. Two, cut out some heart-shaped note cards. Oh, this must be for the women. What did I just do? Yeah, stereotype, didn't I? Cut out some heart-shaped note cards and print the following. Today, I will show my love for you by whatever. Complete the sentence with one of the following, you know, mowing the lawn, vacuuming the floor, washing dishes, taking the dog for a walk, cleaning the fishbowl. I already took fishbowls in the first service because we don't have a fishbowl. So, but anyway, give your spouse a love note accompanied by the acts of service every 3 days for a month. You know, well, that's no big deal, Eric. No, it's really not. And that's the whole thing about this whole book. It just keeps it right here on your mind. And so that whenever you set this out as a goal, ask your spouse to make a list of 10 things he or she would like for you to do during the next month. Then ask your spouse to prioritize those by numbering them 1 to 10. Use the list to plan your strategy for a month of love. And he puts in parentheses, get ready to live with a happy spouse. It just puts all these things right here. If your spouse, if their love language is acts of service, these are ways that you can understand your spouse better to make him or her much more happier and responsive to your needs. So, all right. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and acts of service. Do any of you identify with any of these that I've mentioned so far? Anyone? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of them where I'm like, whenever we get to the test, I'll print that out for you so you can have it and maybe take it home and take the test. But what I noticed is they'll give you two choices, and I'm like, oh, man, I really would like both of those. You know, some of those things you're pretty equal on, and that's okay. That's okay, but it's a great way to understand yourself and to help your spouse and friends understand you as well. But These are definitely aspects of love that we need to understand. So next week, make sure you invite your friends. I hope you're inviting them. Invite your friends, family, your workmates. We're going to talk about physical touch next time. So guys, get out your calling tree. Boy, you guys are slow today. Or else I'm not communicating very well. It's may not be all the physical touch that you're thinking of. But it will definitely lean on physical touch, and it is very important in regards to our relationships, especially with our spouses. So let's pray. Holy God, we do thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for this concept of love that is yet so hard to grasp, but it is so important in our lives, Lord, with our spouses, with our friends, with our parents, with our children. In all of life, God, this concept of love is huge for our happiness and our family's happiness. Also, God, I just ask you to anoint this church family. I understand that not only those in this church react differently to love, but also those outside of this church need different love languages to be happy. Help us, God, form our ministries in these ways so that we can communicate better your love to people. Thank you so much, God, for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you please stand with us as we sing Hear Our Praises.
May our hearts be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people turn to pray from the mountains to the valley.
as we just continue in our corporate worship. Just keep your mind in that place, keep your heart in that place. Our ushers are going to come up right now, and they're going to pass around some baskets, and just ask the Lord, God, what will you have me give this week? What are you asking me to do? Ask the Lord that, and pray about that as we give of our tithes and our offerings. Pray. Father in heaven, we give this to you, God. We give our lives to you, God. All that you have done for us, the life that you've given us, God, you have freed us from sin. You have restored us to community with you. And God, we just thank you so much for that. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for continually pouring your blessings on us. God, thank you that you have shown us how to love, that by these different love languages that you've spoken to Gary Chapman, and that you've communicated to us through Eric, God, that we can love not just our spouse, but our brothers, our sisters, those that we work with, God, that we can love people back to life just like you have. And so, God, we just give you praise, and we let this be, again, just a small token of us giving back to you. And we say this because we love you, God. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence and that you are empowered by something in this service, whether it's a prayer, a song, maybe just a comment, a fleeting comment that was said. My prayer is also that you can grab a hold of something from the message and that will just enhance your relationships, whether it's your spouse, your siblings, your brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever that relationship is that needs help. So go from this place, folks, knowing that you are a child of God, and you are absolutely not alone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's peace be with you. Amen.